Hi, I'm Dave Scott. Welcome to Living by the Words of God. It seems that we have come to the hardest part and the easiest part of our journey. To live as God defines living, to demonstrate that we believe God for life, we need to live by the words of God. Now is the time for the rubber to meet the road and for our faith to embrace the opportunity of honoring God in an obedient response to His words. It is so simple, but since Adam and Eve, we have made it a hard thing to do. More often than not, stumbling in our efforts, conflicted with lesser choices than God offers. So today, in chapter 4, I want to provide some direction that I believe will help us live by the words and help us in our pursuit of God and His glory. Here is an overview. 1. Obeying God is always good. 2. God's goodness must be tasted to be known. 3. The big picture must be seen, or we might miss the goodness. First, always good. Remember that. Always good. God is always good, and living by the words of God is always a good thing, a very good thing. No matter where those words take us, no matter what we may lose along the way, living by the words of God is worth it. Committing ourselves to this truth prepares our hearts to make the right decision when an opportunity for faith presents itself.
Psalm 34:8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. Psalm 105. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. Psalm 135, 3. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises to His name, for it is pleasant. Psalm 145, 9. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. Lamentations 3:25. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul who seeks Him.
Second, the goodness of the Lord must be tasted to be known. If we agree with the words of God without reservation, then we know the biblical instruction that God is good. But to many, between the abstract truth and the living reality lies an impassable divide. Why? Because the person is not trusting God for life. Possessing the knowledge that God is good is not enough. We must trust and obey to taste. Tasting the goodness of God prepares us for later opportunities for faith. I will illustrate. Have you ever wondered what happened to the first generation of Israelites that God brought out of Egypt? How was it that they could escape Pharaoh, travel all the way across the wilderness, come right up to the border of the Promised Land, and yet be too afraid to cross?
Deuteronomy 1:29-32. Then I said to you, do not be terrified or afraid of them. The Lord your God, who goes before you, He will fight for you, according to all He did for you in Egypt, before your eyes, and in the wilderness, where you saw how the Lord your God carried you, as a man carries his son, in all the way that you went until you came to this place. Yet, for all that, you did not believe the Lord your God.
They couldn't trust God at crunch time. Their fear had blinded them to what God had done and what He could do. They couldn't bring themselves to believe that God would come through for them at the border of the Promised Land because they had not built up a reservoir of trust during the journey through the wilderness. They went through the motions. They followed the pillar of fire and the cloud, but they weren't following God. They had their own hopes and dreams, and when these things didn't pan out, when things didn't go as planned, they doubted God's goodness. They missed the blessing of the wilderness. The journey was meant to prepare them for the promise, just as our daily journey of obedience will build our belief in God for greater things. Trust builds trust. Faith builds faith. Belief builds belief. Third, the proverbial big picture. It helps me invaluably in my decisions for truth to understand better exactly what I am doing when I make a choice to obey God. In chapter 4, I have tried to help us understand what is actually going on in the universe when I obey God and live by His words. We have heard about the shot heard round the world in our early American history. How about the acts of quiet, confident obedience, possibly heard by no one except before the throne of God? How about decisions we make where we lose on earth but win before God's throne in heaven?
Matthew 5:44-45. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust.
How about that for an invitation, a calling, a vision of obedience, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven? My dream in Little League was to hit a home run with my dad watching. Hey, Dad, did you see that? Here is the way we step up to the plate and hit a home run for our Father in heaven. Our obedience may not be counted for anything by earth dwellers, but before the throne of our Father in heaven, it resounds to glory and praise. Too often we only look at what we think happens in our private world, in our space. We leave out eternity, leave out God, and make choices before a lesser audience, drowning in their complaints about food, water, and leadership. The Israelites lost their vision of the one who parted the Red Sea. They forgot what God had done, and they lost hope in his promise. We cannot lose sight of the big picture. We must keep looking at our lives on the big screen of eternity, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, Hebrews 12:2. The biblical progression is joy set before, suffering, shame, joy received. Carrie is going to share some things now, and then I will outline some very biblical propositions as to what happens when you and I obey God.
Hi, I have some familiar but hopefully helpful information for you. Today's study finishes part one, Understanding the Offer. Next week, we begin part two, Pursuing the Opportunity, a biblical, practical model for an honest pursuit of God and His truth. For information concerning the study or to provide valuable feedback, you may contact us online at livingbythewordsofgod.com or by telephone at 466-9503 locally, Terre Haute, or toll-free at 1-888-419-4418. You may order the study book on the web, by phone, or purchase it locally at the Open Door Christian Bookstore. Remember, you may view the book for free on the website, and each radio program is archived online if you want to listen again. Just find the Radio Highlights button, and you will be linked to the correct page. We also invite you to listen to our daily highlights on Word Power Family Radio, Monday through Friday mornings at 7:04. Thanks. And now Dave will continue.
In our remaining time today, I want to outline seven things that happen when we live by the words of God. This is not an exhaustive list, but should be more than enough to help us understand what goes on in the universe when I obey God and live by His words. I will continue this theme during the morning spots this week. Here is my list. Seven things that happen when we live by the words of God. Living by the words of God. 1. We love God. 2. We honor our calling and uphold our legacy. 3. We allow God to establish His priorities in our lives. 4. We come to the light. 5. We live by the words of God now. 6. We take on the yoke of Jesus Christ. 7. We lose our lives along the way.
Matthew 22:36-37. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind.
Living by the words of God, we love God. Living by the words of God, we learn to relate to God as a person. This is way past obeying a command or upholding a standard. Personal and up close. I honor God. I show my love for God through my obedience. My relationship is with God, not rules and regulations, not theology. We speak much of having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I say, let it happen. Even more, do everything we can to develop it.
Luke 4:20-21. Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing.
Living by the words of God, we honor our calling and uphold our legacy. Jesus Christ honored words that were hundreds of years old with his obedience. He recognized the eternal value of the words given by his father through the prophets. He realized that 6 centuries of waiting did not diminish the life and quality of eternal words. He lived by the words as he walked this earth. From the dusty pages of the ancient writers, Jesus read the words of his father and lived by them.
Matthew 22:37-40. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these 2 commandments hang all the law and the prophets.
Living by the words of God, we allow God to establish his priorities in our lives. One simple rule with another one just like it. There are many more teachings in Scripture that are vastly more complex, thus harder to understand, but there are no teachings more important than this simple rule. Love God, love your neighbor as yourself. When God himself broke it down to the basics, when Jesus prioritized, he came up with this one simple rule and the other one just like it as our top priority to obey and to understand all of Scripture.
John 3:21, But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God.
Living by the words of God, we come to the light. The one who does the truth is the one who comes to the light, to have his life exposed before God. Not the one who goes to Bible study comes to the light. Not the one who goes to church every Sunday and has for the last 30 years comes to the light. Not the one who teaches the Sunday school class or preaches a sermon, but the one who lives the words comes to the light.
Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Hebrews 3:7-9.
Living by the words of God, we live by the words of God now. Now is the time to follow God. We never want to leave God's mercy and grace and sovereignty out of the picture, but I do think these verses and others similar to them speak of a window of opportunity. Today, if we hear his voice, we need to respond. The giver of life is giving us instruction for living. I hear his voice. Now is the time to obey my God.
Matthew 11:28-30. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light.
Living by the words of God, we take on the yoke of Jesus Christ, and find rest for our souls. We tend to lay burdens on each other, as the Pharisees did, but Jesus is different. For all the things that I mess up, I know I have made the right decision in what counts most, my relationship with Jesus Christ. Living by the words I learned from Jesus, in Jesus I will find rest for my soul. The yoke symbolizes servitude. How do I learn from Jesus? I serve him. I bow, I listen, I wait, and I follow.
Matthew 10:39. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it.
Living by the words of God, we lose our lives along the way. No two ways about it. This is the commitment that Jesus Christ calls us to if we are to follow him. And how hard is this, to be able to give up anything God asks at a moment's notice? But this is what we are called to in following Jesus Christ. To find my life, I must lose my life. So we trust. We give up life and find life in God. And he calls us to follow him from this world to the next.
Remember, you may contact us at 466-9503 locally, Terre Haute, or toll-free at 1-888-419-4418. Our web address is livingbythewordsofgod.com.
Hebrews 11:13-16. All these great people died in faith. They did not get the things that God promised his people, but they saw them coming far in the future and were glad. They said they were like visitors and strangers on earth. When people say such things, they show they are looking for a country that will be their own. If they had been thinking about the country they had left, they could have gone back. But they were waiting for a better country, a heavenly country. So God is not ashamed to be called their to be called their God, because he has prepared a city for them. Thanks for listening to us today. Dave and Carrie Scott, livingbythewordsofgod.com.